The Great Locomotive Chase, arguably one of the more exciting events of the Civil War, just observed its 150th anniversary in April. Most are familiar, at least people in these parts, are familiar with the story. A collection of close to 24 conspirators stole the general, a locomotive, from Big Shanty, which is now Kennesaw, Georgia, and took it on a so-called search-and-destroy mission north to Chattanooga.
Right. Of course, the rail lines, the railroads, were incredibly important during the Civil War. They moved troops, they moved supplies, they moved provisions, and Chattanooga, like Atlanta, was a railroad center. The thought was that the raid could support the Union forces approaching Chattanooga by cutting off supplies to Chattanooga from the south, in other words, steal a locomotive. And then as that locomotive traveled from outside of Atlanta back to Chattanooga, destroy railroad ties, destroy bridges, destroy other kinds of things that would cripple the Confederate effort around Chattanooga.
Yeah, to call it a chase, though, is sort of a misnomer because, I mean, the accounts I read, the locomotive was maybe going not much faster than 10 miles per hour at some points.
Yeah, I mean, I think it reached a maximum of maybe 20 to 22 miles an hour. But you also had hilly terrain, you know, and even though they uncoupled the passenger cars to make it go faster, they still had to stop periodically to get wood and water to fuel the train. So they also had to have stops different places along the line because there would just be a single track and they had to have to defer for a southbound train to get by before they could go through the station and go north.
And the conspirators almost got away with it. They got close to Chattanooga and then...
Yeah, the conductor on the train who was, I think, eating a meal at Big Shanty, now Kennesaw, and others pursued in a variety of ways. They rode several different locomotives during the day. They rode a little platform car that kind of manually transported them for a while. The conspirators not only had to stop periodically, they would throw railroad ties on the tracks, for instance, from time to time, do other kinds of things. They had to stop for fuel. They had to stop for these other trains. But, you know, they were within about, I don't know, 20 miles or 18 miles of Chattanooga before they finally did get apprehended. They basically couldn't stop. They realized that people were on their trail, and they couldn't stop long enough to get adequate wood and water. They were kind of running out of that. And eventually they were stopped and apprehended.
All 22 are captured.
Right.
And Andrews, what's his story? What's his background?
He was a civilian spy. Most of the conspirators were actually Union soldiers, the vast majority of them. He was a civilian who had done a variety of sort of trading back and forth. He was a native of Kentucky. And he is hanged a bit before the other seven who are hanged on this date. Some of them escaped and some of them were exchanged for prisoners in the North. Militarily, it's not so interesting, although it was a very dramatic episode. It was the only locomotive capture during the Civil War. It attracted immense publicity at the time. It's also attracted immense publicity over the years as well, precisely because it was such a dramatic event. There are at least two movies, feature-length movies, made about it. In the 1920s, Buster Keaton made a great film called The General, where he plays William Fuller, the man who's capturing the locomotive. Both of the locomotives are around. The General is at the Southern Museum in Kennesaw. The Texas, the train that went backwards, catching up to the General, is at the Cyclorama at Grant Park. There are markers all around the route, you know, including where the men were hanged near Oakland Cemetery, where Andrews was hanged, which is at 3rd and Cortland Street. There's Adairsville Days in Adairsville, Georgia, commemorating the event every year. There even was a ridiculous movie about trains made by Johnny Cash, where one of the episodes involves Andrews and the Andrews Raiders.
So what if the raid had been successful? Shiloh had occurred just a short period before that turned out to be a significant loss for the Confederate forces. If Atlanta had been isolated, if the raid had been successful, I mean, who knows? Maybe Sherman might not have been necessary.
Well, that's possible. I mean, obviously, Atlanta was later focused on precisely because of its strategic importance as a railroad center, kind of moving railroads east and west as well as north and south. I don't know if I would go quite so far as to say Atlanta still wouldn't have been a strategic place, but it would have, you know, could have conceivably caused some significant disruption. It's possible that the Union Army might have had been able to get into Chattanooga earlier, a year earlier than it actually did.
And as a postscript, the conspirators, all of them, were given the Congressional Medal of Honor,
Except for Andrews and I think the one other civilian, because as civilians they were not allowed to get the Medal of Honor. In fact, one of the conspirators was the first American to receive the Medal of Honor.
Well, Cliff Kuhn, thanks.
Thanks, Steve.